this is your Polycast for Tuesday, September 16th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the U.S. Senate candidates agree on three debates and the latest on the Adrian Peterson story. DFL Senator Al Franken has agreed to participate in three debates with Republican Mike McFadden between now and Election Day. Mark Zadeklik reports.
The Duluth News Tribune and the Duluth Chamber of Commerce are sponsoring the first debate on October 1st. WCCO-TV will host the second debate in late October. NPR News will hold the final debate on November 2nd, the Sunday before Election Day. The McFadden campaign wants more debates and points out that when Franken was running against Republican Senator Norm Coleman in 2008, Coleman agreed to five debates. The Franken side insists a FarmFest forum held in early August should be considered a debate, even though some of the candidates who took part in the forum will not appear on the November ballot. McFadden released a new TV ad calling Franken an invisible senator and accusing him of dodging debates. A Franken campaign spokesperson called the ad absurd and accused McFadden of playing political games. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A man held indefinitely in the Minnesota sex offender program has withdrawn his petition to be released. Minnesota Attorney General Lori Swanson says her office had intervened to stop the release of Thomas Duval. Duval had served sentences for raping several teenage girls. Last year, the Minnesota Department of Human Services recommended Duval's conditional release to a halfway house. The Minnesota Court of Appeals has ruled that the Corrections Department violated the constitutional rights of a prisoner when it punished him for refusing to take part in a treatment program. Brant Williams has more.
According to the 10-page opinion, last October, Ricky James Bedell refused to take part in a chemical dependency program because he would be required to talk about the crime that got him locked up. At the time, Bedell was appealing a felony assault conviction from Chisago County. A corrections official added 45 days to Bedell's sentence after he refused to sign the entry agreement into the program. Attorney Bradford Colbert says Bedell's participation in the treatment program could have jeopardized his Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination.
Most of the things that happened during treatment would be admissible in a criminal trial.
According to the court opinion, the director of the program said information revealed in treatment is confidential unless the offense discussed pertains to sex with minors or vulnerable adults. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News.
More than half of Minnesotans responding to a new poll say the state's economy is in better shape than it was 4 years ago. 60% of metro area respondents and 55% outstate say the economy has improved. The poll conducted for the Star Tribune shows about the same number of Minnesotans say their personal finances have not changed much, while one in four say they have improved since 2010. Pollsters interviewed 800 likely general election voters with a margin of error of plus or minus 3.5 percentage points. State lawmakers will hold a two-day hearing this week on the performance of specialty courts in Minnesota. Members of the House Judiciary Finance and Policy Committee will meet Tuesday and Wednesday to discuss courts that specialize in cases related to drunk driving, drugs, domestic violence, mental health, and veterans. DFL Representative Deborah Hillstrom of Brooklyn Center, the chair of the House committee, said the number of specialty courts is rising, and she wants to know whether they're all doing a good job.
When you do a program of this type, you want to make sure that you have access all across the state and that people of all income levels can participate, and that you have graduation rates from a program that actually are improving. Over time.
Lawmakers provided a big boost in state funding for problem-solving specialty courts last year, but Hillstrom said some of the local programs exist outside of state court administration. There were more developments in the Minnesota Vikings football story everyone's talking about. Adrian Peterson will take the field with the Vikings this Sunday in New Orleans, but one of the team's sponsors, the Radisson Hotels, has backed away, at least for now. The team benched Peterson last weekend after a grand jury in Texas indicted him on a child abuse charge. Vikings executives say they reversed course and reactivated him after reviewing the evidence against Peterson. Matt Sepik has the story.
Prosecutors say Adrian Peterson crossed the line between discipline and abuse when he beat his 4-year-old son with a thin tree branch. Over the weekend, the veteran player flew to his home state of Texas, turned himself in at the Montgomery County Jail in Conroe, posted $15,000 bond, and flew back to the Twin Cities. Vikings general manager Rick Spielman said he and others in the front office spent the weekend talking with Peterson and his attorney and reviewing the evidence. At a news conference yesterday, Spielman said Peterson deserves to play as the case moves forward.
Whether it's an abusive situation or not, or whether he went too far disciplining, we feel very strongly that that is the court's decision to make.
At the same time, Spielman said photos of the injuries to Peterson's son are disturbing, and the team takes the issue of child welfare seriously. 3 years ago, the Vikings suspended cornerback Chris Cook when he was charged with domestic assault. Cook was reinstated in 2012 after a jury acquitted him and now plays for the 49ers. When asked why Cook was suspended but Peterson wasn't, Spielman said only that the two cases are different.
Based on the facts that we're able to gather, we make those determinations as an organization based on individual situations that have arose.
For his part, Adrian Peterson says he's no child abuser. He released a statement on Twitter saying, quote, "I have to live with the fact that when I disciplined my son the way I was disciplined as a child, I caused an injury that I never intended or thought would happen." Peterson also said that he appeared voluntarily before the grand jury and was interviewed by two different police agencies without an attorney. While Peterson did not speak with reporters at Winter Park yesterday, a number of other Vikings players did, and to a man, they stood by their teammate. In the locker room, defensive end Everson Griffin said he's glad to have Peterson back.
It was an unfortunate situation, and, you know, who knows the full story of the whole thing? You know, it's always two sides to the story, so the only thing we do is support him and support our team, and, you know, and they made a decision to reinstate him, and we're happy about it.
Peterson's team is supporting him, but he could still face a suspension by the NFL. A league spokesman says Peterson's case is being reviewed under the league's personal conduct policy. In the wake of domestic abuse allegations against other players, including Ray Rice, released by the Baltimore Ravens a week ago, the league has hired several women to advise on abuse cases. The NFL says one of those advisors, former New York City prosecutor Lisa Friel, will assist with the review of the Adrian Peterson case. Peterson is scheduled to make his initial court appearance in Texas on October 8th. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.